Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live on the Republic Broadcasting Network from San Antonio, Texas, on this Friday, November the 22nd, 61 years exactly later, after the assassination of John F. Kennedy in Dallas, in Dallas's Dealey Plaza. The shots rang out at 11 seconds past 12:30 p.m. Central Time, and to this day, there is a dispute over numbers of shooters, numbers of shots, the nature of the conspiracy that was obviously behind the death of America's 35th president. And so today, perhaps, we will spend less time reopening all of that again than simply to say that those of us who were alive at that juncture, I was in the third grade, undoubtedly remember exactly where you were when you first heard the news as to what happened in Dallas. And, of course, in all the years since, we have had 9/11 as the other pivotal political event of my lifetime. And we await what could be the apocalypse, the period of time leading up even to the inauguration of Trump, when the actions of one Joseph Biden and the people who are handling him seem to be drawing us closer and closer and closer to a discretionary global war, to an unnecessary global war, potentially leading to the apocalypse. And of course, the events that have followed Mr. Biden's irresponsible authorization of the utilization of the American ATACMS missiles to be fired into what is, all people agree, is Russia, continental Russia. This has suddenly produced a backlash, which has resulted in the unveiling on the part of the Russians of a new hypersonic intermediate-range ballistic missile traveling at Mach 10 speed that struck a military facility Dnipro. Some say Dnipro, some say Dnipropetrovsk, but nonetheless, you get the idea that the Russians are not bluffing. And so as we look briefly at a news report today of all kinds of different stories, just to summarize it for you before I go back potentially to the Kennedy assassination for a few minutes on this afternoon of the 22nd of November, falling on a Friday as it did 61 fateful years ago. Let's take a look at some of the other things going on in the news. We've already discussed, of course, the Kennedy assassination just briefly here on the 61st anniversary. And at this particular juncture, we also have some things pertaining to that that I'll just make reference to that you can certainly see in your roadmap. Wyatt Peterson has one for the UNS Review, parallels between JFK, RFK, and 9/11. There is a discussion in that article of something that occurred on August the 2nd, 2023 in the Times of Israel, where it is now reported that the CIA handler of Oswald, or at least the shadow of Oswald, was Jewish. and spent much of his life in the years after the assassination in Israel. His name is mentioned in this article. I have found reference to this as well in the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, and have also listed that link for you to accompany what Wyatt Peterson says today for the Us Review. I'll leave it to you to read that, of course, when you have the time to do it. Apocalypse before the 20th of January or afterward? Geopolitics Live, unbelievably today, publishes for us the video. The full video of Vladimir Putin's meeting at the Kremlin with the Ministry of Defense leadership. That is a 13-minute video. I haven't scanned it yet. I presume that it will have English language subtitles for you, which will give you a unique insight as to just how serious this situation is, how serious this situation is developing in terms of the direction that it's heading. Dennis Kucinich has one today for Lou Rockwell. It's entitled Biden's Missile Crisis. The American people voted for Trump to end the wars, says Kucinich. Biden apparently wants to end the world. So in this particular juncture, take a look at that story from Dennis Kucinich and Lou Rockwell. RT, of course, emphasizes what we need to know from Putin's latest address. A new hypersonic missile, conflict escalation, and a warning for NATO. This is all there for you in the English language, thanks to Russia Today and to all of their English language translators, who seem to give us a lot more information than we get from our own government, or certainly from CNN and these other outlets, which today are talking about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with what may be shortly the end of your life and mine if this situation continues to go in this fateful direction. RT also emphasizes that Russia's key ally, that would be President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus, Russia's key ally warns of World War III. Belarus should not get involved in the Ukrainian conflict since it continues to escalate, Lukashenko says. And yet, obviously, based upon prior arrangements with Russia, Belarus is ready for any contingency up to and including the utilization of nuclear weaponry that is on their own soil in the event of an attack coming either from Ukraine and Zelensky or from these so-called allies of Zelensky, who are basically in military terms, folks, military midgets, at least in this day and age. What do Poland and France and Britain and Romania believe that they are doing as far as upping the ante, both rhetorically and otherwise, with Vladimir Putin and Russia? It's not very intelligent. It threatens to accomplish the same thing for them that lack of preparation and bellicose rhetoric did for the French and the British in particular, in the run-up to the conflict with Hitler in 1940. So take a look at all of this, and you'll see quite clearly that there are a lot of parallels there. And if one is going to risk a global conflict with a nuclear power, one had better be prepared for absolutely any contingency. There is no way at this particular point in time that any combination of European countries has any business militarily going up against Vladimir Putin's Russia. And certainly if that escalates into a situation that involves a conflict between Russia and the United States, where China and Iran get themselves involved on the Russian side of the equation, we can go on to emphasize that the United States has no business being involved in a conflict like this either, especially since its own most critical national security interests are not at stake in this. David Stockman has made that point repeatedly in the last several years. Once again, I think last week we published this one on the roadmap, his article from 2022 entitled World War III in Ukraine for Lou Rockwell is still as pointed and as relevant and as urgent for all of you to read as it was a couple of years ago when this mess got started in earnest. Let's take a look then at Larry Johnson for Sonar 21. Many of you know who he is, longtime CIA analyst who is cropping up in all kinds of places. You'll see him in the Duran You will see him in Russian media with commentary on what is going on. But Larry's own site is sonar21.com, I believe, and it's entitled A Son of the American Revolution. This particular week, he has an article out there entitled, Is Biden Trying to Start a War to Prevent Trump from Being Installed as President? Take a look at that one. Mike Whitney for the UNS Review has one entitled, Going Out with a Bang. What is absolutely incredible here, and of course, Whitney makes this point, Tucker Carlson makes this point, Larry Johnson makes this point, untold numbers of people make this point, including our friends at the Duran. And that is that no one seems to be able to recall a time in American history when an outgoing president rejected by his own party, rejected by the electorate in his attempt to run for re-election, suddenly as an outgoing president finds himself in a circumstance where he is authorizing actions that are absolutely reckless, that threaten to hand the president-elect of the United States the beginning of World War III. Can you ever remember any American president in either political party engaging in things like this? I certainly can't. And that includes some people that I intensely dislike, both in my own lifetime and prior to my own lifetime, that I know something about from having studied about them in history. I cannot recall any American president as dangerous and as reckless as this mentally incapacitated individual who should have been removed from public office a long time ago. So we'll wait and see what happens, but virtually everyone who's looked at this, who has any degree of sanity and understanding and grasp of the situation at all, would say the same things. Paul Craig Roberts for Lou Rockwell. Will Washington succeed in opening more war fronts for Russia? Take a look at that one. South Front has a number of them today, which I put on your roadmap. Russia showed its doomsday weapon in action. One entitled Russian Oreshnik Entered Battle, and Putin has revealed that nature of that battle in this attack in Dnipro. And in all seriousness, folks, in these South Front articles, from time to time, you can actually see video of this thing in action, and it is truly, absolutely frightening. One of the titles of these South Front pieces that is on your roadmap is entitled New Videos Show Launch of Russian Oreshnik Missile. Oreshnik, by the way, in Russian, apparently translates into chestnut in English. Why this particular title for this missile, I don't know, but I learned that just today in terms of doing some of this research for you before going on the air. Sputnik Globe has one. This is entitled The Full Text of Russia's Updated Nuclear Doctrine. It's important to see just how careful Vladimir Putin has been, how careful the Russian leadership has been to articulate step by step why it was felt necessary to revise Russian nuclear doctrine. I don't know about you, but when you see what has been going on in these last 2.5 years and then read this updated version of Russian nuclear doctrine, makes all the sense in the world to me. It apparently makes no sense to all of these American neoconservatives and Zionists and warmongers who think that it is the prerogative of the United States to start a war anytime it wants to anywhere in the world. The only problem is that the United States has had a history in my lifetime of starting conflicts that it can't finish. This is especially true, of course, when you look at the absolutely pygmy-like military powers of the European nations, the so-called EU. NATO is not the military force that it was when it was a legitimate self-defense force in the days of the Cold War, in the days of opposition to a Russian communist takeover of Western Europe. And as Pat Buchanan has pointed out many times, the day that the Soviet Union ended should have been the day that NATO ended, because the alliance was intended to go nowhere 1 inch east of the Elbe River. Those are Buchanan's words, but that is exactly the case. The NATO alliance has not only gone well east of the Elbe River, the NATO alliance has come up right on Putin's borders. The NATO alliance has engaged in at least one serious, outlandish, aggressive conflict already, and that involved Bill Clinton's bombing of Serbia in 1999. And last but not least, the American promise not to recruit ex-Warsaw Pact countries to join NATO has been shredded. And instead of having a dozen members of NATO that I believe went to 16, I think the last time I checked, there are now 31 members of the so-called North Atlantic Treaty Alliance in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. This is simply preposterous and obviously has now led to a situation where with the ignition of this Orange Revolution in Ukraine in 2004 that had the force of both the United States government and the George Soros element behind it. We then turn, of course, to the illegal coup d'etat that overthrew the Yanukovych regime in February of 2014 in Ukraine. And that was followed, of course, by some years of death that involved the killing of something like 17,000 Russian ethnics in Donbass, in the eastern part of Ukraine, courtesy of this Western-installed illegitimate regime in Kiev. And that finally forced Mr. Putin's hand in terms of the launching of the so-called special military operation. But now that the Russians understand what it is going to take to actually resolve this, they've engaged in a military mobilization that they did not want to engage in, involving their own troops when this whole affair began. And now, of course, we're finding out all kinds of things about Russian hypersonic missiles and all the latest developments going on with Russian conventional military industrial production, ranging from artillery pieces and artillery shells to tanks to small arms bullets and so forth and so on. It's absolutely amazing to see the extent to which the United States and the European powers combined have been absolutely shown up by these Russian technological advances militarily, especially in the range of the so-called hypersonic missiles, but also as far as conventional military industrial production. This is where we are looking at the United States as not even a paper tiger compared to what it was in 1940, just before this country entered World War II. We now understand, of course, that the premier production capacity nation on Earth is China. Can you imagine China and Russia being involved in a war against the United States? All our nuclear powers, of course, when you start talking about populations and land mass and who has the natural resources and who has the superior production capacity, the U.S. would be on the losing end of that, folks. The Western Europeans would be on the losing end of that. And yet the actions that have been taken by the Biden administration and by Joe Biden specifically in regard to this idiotic move in introducing not only ATACMS missiles into this conflict in Ukraine, but to allow Zelensky to be firing these missiles into continental Russia. This could well be the unraveling of the final things for those of you who believe in some version of Christian eschatology. For those of you who don't, you might still believe that, in fact, we are flirting around with the end of this planet as we have known it. And it doesn't stop there. We are now hearing all kinds of things about the Germans stepping into this thing with Taurus missiles, the British stepping in with more of their Storm Shadow missiles, the French stepping in with more of their missiles, but they don't have that many additional ones to contribute, which is good news. We start looking at this whole business of Zelensky requesting of Biden these Tomahawk, American Tomahawk cruise missiles. Were those to be handed over to Zelensky, we would be dealing with a whole new set of contingencies in regard to the drastic character of the Russian response the next time. The next time. And when you start looking at the characteristics of this hypersonic intermediate-range ballistic missile, you're talking about something with Mach 10 speed that can travel between 2.5 and 3 kilometers per second, that has a range of 5,000 kilometers, and is nuclear capable. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankoff, on the 61st anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, coming to you live on RBN from San Antonio, Texas. Stay tuned.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me, and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here.
You have to have it so loud, Monk.
And I have not been known as the saint of San
Joaquin. Yeah.
Just as soon right now, pull on over to this side of the road.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are at the 61st anniversary of the Kennedy assassination today in Dallas, which, of course, fell 61 years ago on a Friday, as the 22nd of November does today. By the way, at exactly 12:30 p.m., I took a snapshot of Dealey Plaza from the 6th floor minicam up there at the Kennedy Museum, just to see who might be out there, how many people were visiting on this November 22nd. It was kind of an interesting snapshot. I might post it on social media later. Back for a moment to South Front and to a particularly interesting piece from them entitled Russian Oreshnik Mach 10 Hypersonic Missile Enters the Battle. Putin reveals details of the attack on Dnipro. Fascinatingly enough, there's one paragraph in here I want you to think about, and I republished that paragraph for you on your roadmap. You're either reading along now or you will later at some point this week after the show, I hope. But it goes as follows. Finally, ideologues, conspiracy theorists, and sages of geopolitics claim that Ukraine is a key element of Rabbi Schneerson's, they are talking here about Rabbi Menachem Schneerson of Shabbat Lubavitch fame, 1902 to 1994, born and raised in Ukraine during the period of the Russian Empire, so to speak. He was the longtime legendary leader, as I've mentioned, of Shabbat Lubavitch, the Jewish bankers of New York. He is described as a prominent representative of the American deep state. This plan, says South Front, his ideas about quote-unquote genocide of the Slavs and their culture, aside from that, his plan was to prepare for the resettlement of Israel's Jews in Ukraine. If Israel were to collapse under the pressure of the Islamic world, united against it, the Jews, and I'm reading from the paragraph that I've cited in this article, the Jews will have to return to the lands from which they recently came. He is talking there, of course, about Ashkenazic Jews who have no racial linkage to Abraham whatsoever. I'll add that. That's an editorial remark of mine. But in Ukraine, in addition to their historical roots, they will find a land rich in everything they need, though not holy, but promised. Consider that for a minute, folks. Shabbat Lubavitch, Trump's links to Shabbat Lubavitch, some allegations that he has actually converted to the Shabbat Lubavitch version of Judaism. I don't know if that's factual, but that's been reported in at least one place that I have seen. But isn't it interesting how this old business of Ukraine and Rabbi Menachem Schneerson and Shabbat Lubavitch suddenly reappears again with everything that has happened just since this war started between Russia and Ukraine, and where you've had a series of Jews who have been installed by the West as Ukrainian presidents, including the current one who has unconstitutionally failed to stand for re-election for quite some period of time. He is ruling that country in a martial law basis, and one of the things that he's become quite good at is persecuting the canonical Ukrainian Orthodox Church in that country, imprisoning its priests, stealing and confiscating its land holdings and its parishes, physically working over parishioners who even stand quietly in protest at what is going on with these uniformed thugs. Why is all this going on? It's because the canonical Ukrainian Orthodox Church has, as its patriarch, the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill of Moscow. And so what we have in the Ukraine is a much bigger picture than we might think. It involves land theft. It involves resource theft for the West. It involves the encirclement of Russia. But last but not least, it involves the persecution of the synagogue of Satan that Jesus warned us about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, and Revelation 3, verse 9, in his words to the churches of Smyrna and Philadelphia, two of the churches of Asia Minor, in that lengthy pericope. All of a sudden, you have a replay of that in regard to what is presently going on in this conflict between Ukraine and Russia, which would seem to have much deeper dimensions involved in it in terms of the synagogue of Satan versus Christianity, and the currently the most obvious representative of culturally traditional Christianity, the Russian Orthodox Church. And it certainly seems to involve and does involve, and there are more articles on this that I could take a stick at, the LGBTQ plans that the West has desired to inflict upon Russia and the rest of the world through people like Zelensky. We'll be back. This is Mark Ankoff coming to you live on RBN, on November the 22nd, 2024, this Wednesday afternoon. Thank you.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Furious Growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Their faces gaunt, their eyes were blurred, and shirts all soaked with sweat. They're riding hard to kids that heard but they ain't caught them yet. Cause they got to ride forever on that range up in the sky, on horses snorting fire, as they ride on, hear their cry.
Yippee-yi-yay, yippee-yi-yo,
the Ghost Riders in the sky.
As the riders loped on, we are back. You are listening to the Dankoff Report live on this Friday, November the 22nd, 61 years after the fact, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas. Just a couple of more things on this Jewish angle on this Russian-Ukrainian war. It's quite obvious, of course, that the element that wants to destroy Putin's Russia involves globalists and Zionists. And there, of course, you're talking about a disproportionate number of Jewish folks. We discussed that interesting excerpt from the South Front article on Rabbi Menachem Schneerson of Chabad Lubavitch fame, who passed away in 1994, and the way in which Jewish central banking interests, which of course included Chabad Lubavitch big time, somehow perceived that Ukraine might fit into their plans again as a plan B for Jews to create a state out of in the event that they were tossed out of Palestine. This is particularly interesting to me based upon the fact that Aussie Cossack, also known as Simon Boykoff, published something today on the Rothschilds and this present conflict in Ukraine as it relates to debt. Now, of course, many of you know or have seen articles about this staggering, just exponentially out-of-control debt of that country and what it owes to all these international lending institutions, not to mention to sovereign governments that have been stupid enough to hand Zelensky all this money, including the United States government and one senile Joe Biden. I understand that he has just issued some sort of an executive order attempting to write off some $4.9 billion in loan money that Ukraine supposedly had guaranteed to repay. Thomas Massie, the Republican congressman from Tennessee, by the way, has introduced legislation to keep that from happening, and also articles of discussion of articles of impeachment, potentially, to get Joe Biden out of office before the 20th of January. Good luck with that, congressman. I agree with you, but I don't think it's going to happen. But suffice it to say that Simon Boykoff down there in Sydney published something today at Aussie Cossack on Telegram saying that the Rothschilds are playing a central role in efforts to restructure more than $20 billion of Ukraine's debt, organizing crucial discussions between Kiev officials and prominent investment firms like BlackRock. You've heard of those guys. And Amundi. So it definitely is a situation where when you see things from that angle, the historic connection of Shabbat Lubavitch and Rabbi Schneerson to all of this perhaps becomes more clear than it has been before. And, of course, this also gets back to statements of one Lindsey Graham talking about the billions, potentially trillions of dollars that might be available to steal in the way of Ukrainian natural resources. So this is where we are at this particular point. This has a lot less to do with your national security or mine and a lot more to do with international financiers of the type described here, as well as people like Mr. Lindsey Graham. Think about that one, folks, that statement that he made talking about the billions, potentially trillions of dollars in natural resources sitting there in Ukraine for the taking. There's only one problem with that. It's not for the United States to take, at least morally and legally. That has never stopped our multinational corporate government before, I hasten to add. But this time there's somebody else who's entered the game, and that's Vladimir Putin. And he is not going to permit that to happen. And as far as I'm concerned, more power to him. So then let's go on. Here's a story for you. Tulsi Gabbard, U.S. Biolaboratories globally. I've published this video for you to take a look at on your roadmap. It basically involves her claim, and I happen to believe this claim based upon other things that I have read. The Biden administration is funding over 300 biological labs housing dangerous pathogens worldwide. She highlighted that around 30 of these labs are situated in Ukraine. Gabbard further advocated for the closure of all such labs and an immediate halt to hostilities to avert the spread of hazardous diseases. This dovetails with Philip Giraldi's piece in UNS some days ago, basically saying that Gabbard was an excellent pick to be our Director of National Intelligence, that in a lot of cases, she is a definite enemy of the deep state. The one big problem, however, and it has to be acknowledged on this show, is she has also historically been a supporter of Israel, and that is not necessarily to my liking or to the liking of people in the paleo-conservative America First wing of the Republican Party who have not been compromised by any of those kinds of forces. By the way, Kit Clarenberg for the Gravestone has talked about leaked files that expose a high-level UK military plot to destroy the gray zone. We've got that one up for you on the roadmap. I've also been keeping an eye on both Simon Boykoff of Aussie Cossack as well as George Galloway of Britain with these No to NATO episodes that they've been producing. The latest one on the so-called World War III update, which is quite something to watch. It's very entertaining as well as very informative. It also involved Kit Clarenberg of the Grey Zone and an ex-British Labour Party staffer I'm not familiar with the name of Halima Khan. But I put that up for you from YouTube. It looks like something you might want to avail yourself of this particular week. Trump's defense secretary nominee. Is this man a sexual criminal? We don't know. We know what the allegations are against Mr. Hegseth. The one thing that we do know about him is that he has had longtime associations with these Temple Mount crackpots in Israel and in the Christian Zionist movement. This is something that has been noted in several places, including Middle East Eye on YouTube, where you can absolutely see Mr. Hegseth appearing at a press conference dealing with this whole issue of the Temple Mount movement. And here's a quotation. You can actually see Hegseth saying this on the video. I'll quote from it. There's no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Temple Mount is not possible. In this particular case, one Pete Hegseth, of course, who is now Donald Trump's pick for Defense Secretary of the United States, makes reference to this in a 2018 conference in Jerusalem, which is where this video was taped, talking about, quote-unquote, doing what needs to be done, unquote, referring to the expansion of illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank and the construction of a Jewish temple on the site of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Well, if that's Trump's defense secretary, and if we have the current Democrat president of the United States giving authorization to the Ukrainians to fire American ATACMS missiles into Russia, I don't see that there is much alternative to getting ready for a third world war. This is incredible to me that a Republican president of the United States once again selects somebody as a national security cabinet member in what will be now his second administration who has this type of ideological approach to his role as an American defense secretary. But then, of course, you look at the whole issue of who he has picked to be his secretary of state, who's going to be his national security advisor, who is going to be his UN ambassador, who is going to be the United States ambassador to Israel. And it all starts falling into place in regard to the fact that, at least from where I sit, this is not going to be, in the sense that you and I properly understand it, an America First administration. Some good things in border policy, some good things in what is being stated about what will happen as far as illegal immigration in this country. Some rhetoric about trying to reestablish the industrial capacity, manufacturing capacities of the United States. But one of the more ominous things, perhaps the most ominous thing about these Trump national security picks, is the overwhelmingly pro-Zionist view that constantly comes forth with these folks, up to and including Mr. Hegseth, our defense secretary nominee, who is a Temple Mount advocate and who is an advocate of presumably expanding all of these illegal operations and settlements being undertaken by these settlers in the so-called occupied territories. So this is where we sit on this, and each time something comes out on this, I feel less good all the time about what may await us after the 20th of January. All kinds of things out here, folks, on Israel and Iran. I have posted all of those for you to read at your leisure or to view. There are several videos there. The interesting thing, of course, is that when you look at all of what is represented by what is happening in this burgeoning situation between Israel and Iran. It's quite obvious that that dovetails with a very dangerous situation that has emerged between Russia and Ukraine. We also have some domestic issues that I should mention here on this anniversary of the 61st anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy in Dealey Plaza in Dallas. And that is articles written by Mike Whitney for UNCE and Paul Craig Roberts for Lou Rockwell. Whitney's piece is the lengthier on the topic. It's entitled "The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act is the Death Knell for Free Speech." Take a look at that story. I think it's a critical story for you to examine in great detail and to share it with your friends. Paul Craig Roberts, one post for Lou Rockwell this week, entitled "Where Life and Freedom Stand," also gets into the dangers of this Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which in conjunction with Whitney's terminology, I think Paul Craig Roberts would underscore that it is indeed a death knell for free speech. I want to read a portion of what Roberts has said on this. Whitney's... Yes, I'll take a call. Go ahead. Okay, well, we'll start at number one. Good, Vinny. You're on with Mark Dankoff. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Mark. Hey, Mark. I wanted to comment your reference to the Wyatt Peterson articles at the UNS Review. He has one on 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination. They're both must-reads.
Yes.
Also, Ron Unz did an article on the Dan Bilzerian meeting with Meyer, what's his name, the British guy, Piers Morgan. And
yes.
he made an interesting comment that he compared the Holocaust narrative to the late stages of a Ponzi scheme. It's really, really interesting. And I want to comment on this whole missile trade-off between the U.S. and Ukraine and Russia and what went on in Iran. Israel attacks Iran. That did not succeed because Iran was using an upgraded S-300 system they got from Russia that they modified themselves and a partially implemented S-400 system. We attacked, Ukraine attacks Russia with ATACMS and Storm Shadows, and the S-400 system shut down. You know, there was only minor damage to a couple Russian stockpiles, munition stockpiles. But their attack was very successful. So I'm wondering, the explanation for what they're doing is they just want to keep Russia engaged in Ukraine and do not want them to export that S-400 system to the rest of the Middle East, because if they do that, you can completely isolate Israel. If they sell that system to fully implemented in Iran, if they sell that system implemented in Iraq or Syria, Israel is going to get shut down. And just think what happened if Russia and Turkey are now working. They're both in Libya, and Turkey has been threatening to shut down the oil supply to Israel. And, you know, Turkey can't leave NATO without a new defense arrangement. What if Russia sold the S-400 system to Turkey? Turkey then gets the contract. You know, Turkey's lost its labor force. A lot of it's working in Germany. Germany's manufacturing shut down, and they get a lot of their economy is remittances. Turkey can now be doing, you know, help rebuilding Ukraine. And if that S-400 system ever went to Libya, basically, you shut down the Eastern Mediterranean, and, you know, Israel shut down.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely onto this. The potential proliferation of the S-400 Russian anti-aircraft system and anti-missile system, that to me would be an absolute game changer in this, in conjunction with what the Houthis are already doing and threatening Red Sea and Bab el-Mandeb Strait shipping with these hypersonic missiles. I don't think the Houthis developed these hypersonic missiles. They clearly got them from somewhere, and I have a suspicion as to where they got them from. But when you look at the amount of havoc that the Houthis have been able to wreak in international shipping because of the alteration of the security situation in the Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, this would be a greatly magnified problem for the United States and Israel were Putin to decide start upgrading the air defense systems of the of nations like Iran and Syria and Libya. Particularly, Mr. Putin, it seems to me, would have the motivation to do precisely that, given the fact of what Biden has just irresponsibly authorized Zelensky to do as far as firing these attack-ems, American attack-ems missiles into continental Russia. So you can kind of see the way that this is playing out. And in absolutely every case with the people that I have consulted on this, who know a lot more about military matters than I do, but who can explain to me in layperson's terms what we're dealing with here, none of these things that the United States is doing or that the Europeans are proposing to be done as it relates to arming Zelensky is going to change the outcome of this war. It will, however, escalate the situation, escalate it dangerously into a circumstance where the leadership of these of the West is going to have to ask itself if it simply finally wants to admit that this Ukraine project has been a total catastrophe, or is it willing to risk a global conflagration that no one would win in order to save face. It seems to me that these are the choices that are involved, and Putin has been very methodical, very careful in what he has done with every move A that he has counteracted with move B. But this, to me, is where this thing is heading. And the whole question now is whether or not this whole thing is going to at least hold until Trump takes office and reassesses the situation and figures out, first of all, how in the world to defuse the situation that the United States has created by creating this catastrophic Ukraine project. The other thing, and this is even more worrisome to me than the Ukrainian situation, is the susceptibility of Trump to allowing Netanyahu to drag this country into a war with Iran that would produce, I have no doubt, ultimately a global conflagration along with the Ukrainian circumstance. So this is kind of where it is, and we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah. Another thing is apparently Russia and China are getting Egypt and Turkey to talk to one another. And
yes,
let's say Putin's ultimate goal is the breakup of NATO. If he gets Turkey to leave NATO, Turkey would then enter a military alliance with Russia. Turkey and Russia are keeping the civil war, stop the civil war in Libya. If they put an S-400 system in Libya, they could then some point deploy anti-shipping missiles. At that point, you know, everything has to go between Cape Bon in Tunisia through Sicily. And Italy, what is NATO doing for Italy? I mean, nothing. All of these refugees, Maloney, four times the number of refugees are entering Italy now than, you know, before her. And it's been a disaster. She's a complete, you know, Israel shill. And all these Israeli NGOs are flooding her country. So, I mean, there's a lot of chess moves that Putin could play, and I don't see us have any way of stopping it.
I agree with you, and I definitely think that that's the way that it's headed. And you can well imagine if Turkey were to withdraw from NATO, and all of a sudden you would have a strong ally of Russia, basically with control of the Bosphorus Straits. The West loses influence with the Bosphorus Straits, as it has been losing with Red Sea and Bab el-Mandeb shipping security. Then there's the whole issue of China, isn't there? You start talking about the South China Sea, you start talking about the Straits of Malacca, and the Straits of Malacca, of course, is a world shipping lane, arguably as significant, and perhaps even more so, I don't know, than with the present situation involving the Bosphorus Straits and involving the Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb. So you look at this, and when you combine oil and natural gas pipeline politics, you start looking at this whole business of the security of shipping, sea and shipping lanes. You start looking at this global move toward a de-dollarized economy, courtesy of what the United States government has done to itself in supporting this idiotic effort in Ukraine. Look at the number of nations joining BRICS. You look at the whole circumstance of the national debt of the United States, as you know. What is it now, approaching $38 trillion? I've lost count. But we've been able to do a lot of things with fiat money because of the role of the petrodollar as the reserve currency of the world. That is in the process of winding down. I don't think there's any question about it. When you have Saudi Arabia joining BRICS, that ought to say something about what the future would seem to hold. So you start talking about oil and natural gas pipelines. You start talking about the security of international shipping lanes, the de-dollarization of the global economy, the national debt of the United States, the overextension of our military empire, the fact that both in terms of military technologies and conventional military industrial production, that we are not the power that we once were. This all points to me in the direction of the basic end of empire symptoms that we've seen repristinated throughout history. And I think the whole business of the end of the Zio-American empire is perhaps closer than we think. I mean, I think we are on the brink here. And the increasing desperation rhetorically, as well as in action, of a lot of these American neoconservatives would sense that they're panicking because they've gotten themselves into something that they don't know how to get out of, short of making bellicose threats that may end up in a global war to try and preserve a hegemony, that's long gone. That is in the process of breaking up. We're dealing in an age of multipolarity. We're dealing in an age where all of the things that used to give the United States the hegemony that it once enjoyed with its so-called empire, I don't care where you look, it all seems to be breaking apart.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Vinny. I understand we have a couple of folks that didn't make it on. I hope they'll give me a call next week. Suffice it to say that 61 years ago today, I was in Montgomery, Alabama, hoofing it from Floyd Elementary School at 630 Augusta Avenue, making a left on Norman Bridge Road, making a right turn by foot on Ogden Road, and a left turn, and by which time I was running with my book bag to 3543 Wilmington Avenue in Montgomery, where I lived, only to be seeing my dad's Air Force staff car in the driveway, which told me right then that the President of the United States was dead. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Folks, this is Mike Gatti, the rebel madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.